welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest health research and world news. Hope you guys are having a wonderful day today. Should be fairly decent weather. Looks like it may rain a little bit later on, which is pretty normal here in Florida. But I hope the rest of you guys listening from all over the world have decent weather wherever you're at today. And how are you doing today, Deb?
Absolutely wonderful. I walked outside last night around 8 o'clock, and I'd been in the house, and you're not paying attention. So I'm thinking it's going to get cool off for night. And I walked outside, and I felt like I got hit in the face with a hot bucket of water. And I thought, wow, this is just really interesting. I mean, I've never seen, usually in September down here, in the evenings, it starts getting really, really nice. And by October, it's really pretty. Last few years, guys, that has not been the case. The summers have been just ridiculous. And now it's all the way into September, pushing these super high, hot, humid nights. So, yeah, it's been interesting watching them spray us with chemtrails again. I mean, again, there's no again to it. It's constantly. And it's just kind of sad, actually, because, you know, we don't really deserve that as a species. I mean, now we're talking from a species level. I mean, forget, you know, individually, because I'm sure there's some people out there that probably do deserve to be sprayed like bugs. Not me, not Austin, not my family, certainly not my listeners. But there are some crazy folks out there that are just kind of nuts. But this whole thing, getting sprayed like this and messing up the weather like this, is just absolutely Looney Tunes. First story. We've been telling you this, guys, for a long time. Breast milk does what a vaccine can never do. This is by Dave Mikhailovic. To claim that breast milk is the gold standard in infant nutrition is an understatement. Hey, we talked about this just the other day. For a newborn, nothing comes close in nutrient density, which is so perfectly customized for an infant as it grows. Imagine that, because God did this. Breastfed infants gain incredible protection from antibodies, proteins, and immune cells in breast milk. It defends against a myriad of pathogens in ways that are impossible through vaccination and other pharmaceuticals. The molecules in breast milk help cells to prevent microorganisms from penetrating the body's tissues. Some of the molecules bind to microbes in a hollow space, the lumen of the gastrointestinal tract. In this way, they block microbes from attaching to and crossing through the mucous layer of cells, also known as the epithelium, that lines the digestive tract and other body cavities. Other molecules lessen the supply of a particular mineral and vitamin that harmful bacteria period need to survive in digestive tracts. Certain immune cells in human milk are phagocytes that attack microbes directly. Another set produces chemicals that invigorate the infant's own immune system. Naturally occurring sugars found in breast milk provide protection against life-threatening bacteria by acting as a food source for friendly baby bacteria in their intestinal tract. I mean, guys, I don't know how much more we can talk about breast milk and how important it is, but it's just so, so, so critical. It really is that you guys just do that. You know, breastfeed, if at all possible, then the raw certified goat's milk with some stuff afterwards. What do you think, Oz? I know you already. I already know what you think. Go ahead.
Oh, you already know. Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge proponent of it. Lana's, you know, been doing it with Hunter. He's actually 5 months old today, as of today, the 15th. And his health, his mental acuity, his growth, everything about it has been exceptional. And it's been, you know, a lot of that. I'm granted, obviously, you know, genetics help and everything else, and pre-pregnancy health and diet and supplementation, along with, you know, the prenatals and the postnatal nutrition. But the breast milk is what they grow on. It's what they thrive on. And, you know, as long as the mother's eating clean and taking good nutrients and really staying healthy, you know, the breast milk is going to be incredibly beneficial for them. There's no excuse to be using some of this really, really, really cheap stuff. Like I said, if there's some type of issue that a woman has and she can't breastfeed, or, you know, the milk production stops, then there are other options out there, like we talked about in the book yesterday, which I appreciate all the listeners, because you guys are the only ones that heard that offer, and a ton of you guys bought that book last night and this afternoon. So we really appreciate that. That's really good information. So I'm glad that you guys can get it and pass it on to a lot of other people. So, again, I thank you. But also, too, you know, if you have to use some type of natural formula, make sure, as I talked about yesterday, you're doing your research to make sure you guys are getting organic, non-GMO ingredients that are in this stuff. Because, I mean, it's really bad out there, but it's all possible. It's all possible. Breastfeed as long as you can. And if you don't want to physically breastfeed, then you can also pump, and you can freeze the milk and use it as needed as a supplementation as they get older, you know, a year old, 2 years old. I know a lot of moms that have done that don't actually want to physically breastfeed anymore, so they pump throughout the week and basically store it and then allow their children to have it on a regular basis. supplementation, and with their other, smashed baby food and their, the regular food they start eating when they start getting older. So that's definitely an option, too, for you guys that are thinking about it. But I'm glad you brought that up again, Dad, because I brought that up when we first took Harrison to Dr. Robinson and asked him about that. And he said vaccines are completely and totally useless why a child is breastfeeding. There is not a single reason for them to be given that whatsoever, because the immunoglobulin, the nutrients, the immune support, everything, the antibodies are giving them through the breast milk. So there's no need for this nonsense to inject them with literally 6 or 7 different vaccines by the time they're 6 months old. And then by the time they're 2, they've already had like 20-something different vaccines totals on the schedule. It's absolutely insane. So the breast milk is the easiest way to get around all that and keep their health and growth at an awesome pace.
And the thing that's so frustrating with the vaccinations to me, and I've done this before. Now, if I don't know you and you're vaccinating your child, I feel bad for the child, but I'm not going to get personally involved in it because I can't do anything about it. I've learned people don't want advice, especially if they don't know who you are or what you do. They simply tell you to mind your own business. That's the end of it. Most of the time. Now, what I do, if I see somebody who's got a healthy kid, I ask them a lot of times, are you doing the vaccinations? Just the other day, I was at Costco and we were talking to someone and I asked him, I said, are you doing all the vaccinations? And the guy goes, well, I know we're not doing any vaccinations. And I looked at him, I said, give me 5. Well done. He goes, well, I didn't expect you to say that. He goes, every time we tell that to somebody, they get all mad. I said, no, man, you guys are doing right. I said, if you want to give that baby immunizations, you can always do it before they start school. See, a couple of years ago, I got really, really mad at somebody that I knew personally, who was a good friend of mine that I'd known for many, many years, and he'd had a child, and the baby was basically being vaccinated. And I got ugly about it. I'm not going to even try to justify how angry I got, because I knew this kid, as he's a man now. And I just told him, I said, and then he basically hits me with, providentialism, that it's God's will that if he immunizes this kid, the kid comes down with autism, it's God's will for that child to have autism. And I just went berserk. And I said, that's not true. I said, if you step out in front of a semi-truck, that's not God's will. If you intentionally put poison in a baby, it is not God's will for that child to be poisoned to death and to die. I said, you can't justify your behavior based upon providentialism. And it was interesting too, because I was on Joyce Myers right after that. Not with Joyce Myers, but Joyce Riley on this Power Hour. And I talked about that the first hour about providentialism. And that was the last show I ever did with Joyce. I guess it was one of those, oh well, shouldn't have gone there. But guys, think about this for a second. God has your life plotted out for you with a plan A. He gives you plan A when you're born. He says, okay, here's plan A. If your parents listen to me, it's going to be plan A. Here's what I'm going to do for you. Okay? Well, it doesn't take long. You're on plan, B, then C, then D, then E, then F. And pretty soon you're on double A, double B, double C if you keep making mistakes. And the reason most people's lives are still pretty good by the time they're 18, 19 years old and they're graduating from high school is that their parents who are older than them haven't allowed them to make enough bad choices at that point in their life to ruin their life yet. That's why a lot of people and a lot of kids, and I don't mean this disparagingly, but it's just the truth, they peak out in high school. They're just like the best 3 years of their life, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade, and then everything else is just downhill. And that's because they haven't made enough decisions yet that have ruined their lives at that point. And then you see them 10 years later, and they're kind of like gut kicked a little bit in the 10-year reunion. 20-year reunion, everybody who's going to do something's pretty much started doing something. By the time you get to the 30th year reunion, everybody's trying to talk about, retirement now. And basically, wow, that sure went by fast. And see, guys, this is the point I'm trying to make right now with all of this. Stay focused. Stay goal-oriented. Stay God-directed. And realize that God wants you to follow His perfect will for your life. But sooner or later, you've got to start making choices that are going to facilitate that will. So you can't believe in providentialism. Now, does God know if that child is going to come down with autism? Yes. Does God know that you are fixing to commit suicide by stepping out in front of that semi-truck? Yes, because He's omnipresent. We've talked about that. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He wrote the program that we're in. He understands what's going to happen. Does it mean that it's His will for those things to happen? No. It just means that He's God and He knows what you're going to do. Now, but that doesn't mean that's what He wants you to do. You have to take responsibility for yourself. So if you've got kids, think through this. And I'm not telling you don't immunize. That's your choice. You know, you can do what you want to do. Now, you know, I don't immunize. I haven't immunized my kids. You know, Austin doesn't. We've been very candid about that on the air. But the reality is this. If you choose to do that, that's your choice, but it's got your responsibilities. So don't blame it on God if your child comes down with autism or some type of learning disorder. And you say, oh, by the way, it had to be God who did this to my boy so he could suffer and he could learn something from this. That is absolutely not true. Now, God can take something that happens and he can make it happen and make a good thing come from it by giving you another plan for your life after you've created that issue. But that is not his will for you. God's will is never for somebody to come down with cancer or heart disease or diabetes or a death in a family of an infant or a child or a loved one or a spouse. That's not his will. That's not what he wants. But when people make choices, because we have freedom of will that creates those issues, in many times and in many cases, it's easier for people to scream providentialism. It's God's will that it's going to happen that way. No, it is not God's will. There are all kinds of things that you can do about it to correct it to start with. This is why we talked about it the other day. It's a lot easier to prevent heart disease, diabetes, and cancer than it is to try to cure it. So if you want a kid who's going to be smart in school, who's going to excel academically, number one, don't get drunk while you're pregnant. There you go. There's a newsflash. It's called fetal alcohol syndrome. Number two, eat clean, no GMOs, organic while you're pregnant. Okay, there you go. Number three, take a high-quality nutraceutical supplement. We have those available at Health Masters prenatals that are phenomenal, okay? Drink good, clear water. Don't drink fluorine and chlorine and chemicals in your water. And you will be amazed at how, if you just do those simple things, including making sure you get a folate, that you're going to have this super healthy baby pop out. And you're going to go, wow, that was easy. Same thing. You want a super healthy baby? Don't immunize that baby. Okay, that's how I look at it. Do you choose to do what you want to do? Make sure you eat clean and take your supplements that first year and breastfeed that baby, because that baby's gonna eat all of its nutrients from you. And all of a sudden now you're 6 months old and you're going, wow, this baby's really smart. Wow, this baby's off the chart on tests. Wow, this baby's really big. Wow, this baby's really healthy. Wow, this baby's never sick. Wow, imagine that. See, childbirth and child rearing doesn't have to be a disease process in which you go, oh my God, how did I get into this mess? It doesn't have to be that. Okay? Because if you want to really, really start realizing how rough it can get, have a sick baby. A baby that's got all kinds of colic, or got all kinds of problems with diaper rash, or got all kinds of problems with throwing up, or got all kinds of problems with screaming constantly, or with an encephalitic scream from a doggone immunization. Now you got a problem. Baby screams and cries for 18 hours straight, basically goes limp afterwards, okay? And you got brain damage from that. Now you got an issue. Now you have to deal with that issue the rest of your life. And if that child is permanently brain damaged, somebody else is going to have to deal with that issue after you're gone, because you chose to make that decision. So don't come back and yell, it's God's will that my child has this. No, it's not. God wants all of us to be healthy. Jesus even said, if you ask your father for a fish, he's not going to give you a snake. I mean, that is as simple as he could when he's teaching the parables. That's what we have to understand, is God wants everything good for you. It's the one who's the deceiver of the brethren, the god of this world, Lucifer, and his little minions that run around. They want to destroy everything God has created to be good. That's why the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4, I don't have it in front of me, I'm going to quote it from memory. It basically says, the Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and they order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe in and know the truth. For everything God created is good if it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Now, you may not believe this, but I just quoted that. Now, so if I messed it up, don't be fussing at me, because that was my memory. But what they say there, when you look that up, the word foods is meats in the King James Version, which means broma, B-R-O-M-A. And then you look that word up, it means foods that have been sanctified according to Levitical law. So in other words, he says, God has created everything to be received with thanksgiving if it is sanctified by what? The word of God, the Torah, broma, the word of the Lord, Levitically correct. So that means no pork, no shellfish, no skinfish, no eels, no lobsters, no rats, none of that stuff, okay? That's what he's saying. So it's okay to eat over that, because it is sanctified by the word of God, the Torah, and prayer. But people use that constantly to say, just pray over it, eat it. That's not what it says. It's sanctified by the word and prayer. And those are the things that we need to understand. That's why you won't find pork in my house. You won't find shellfish in my house. Now, I used to eat a lot of shellfish, but in 1981, I came down with shellfish poisoning. I've told you that story before, from the Greenleaf Golf and Country Club buffet with Henry Meeks. May he rest in peace. He's gone now. And Gene Dawes, my best friend back then, and still one of my best friends to this day, he and I both got unbelievably bad shellfish poisoning. I mean, I was throwing up for 4 or 5 days. Should have probably been hospitalized from dehydration. I only have to do that once. If I walk up to a light socket and I don't know if it's hot or cold and I stick my finger in it just because I don't have a tester, which I don't do, but if I do it by accident, okay, I don't do it on purpose, and it shocks me. It only took the one time, Austin. The other day I was plugging in the compressor to air up the tires on the car, and it had a short in the doggone line, and I plugged it in, and you heard a yelp. I did a Fred Flintstone. I was 3 feet off the ground treading air. I thought, whoa, that's bad. And I didn't do it again. I will not touch that plug again unless I'm doing it with insulated gloves on. Won't do it. Have no interest, or I will kill the circuit first because I will not play that game twice. Well, if you get shellfish poisoning once and you get unbelievably ill from it, how many times do you want to puke for 5 days? How many times do you want to do that? So I gave up shellfish even before I went to a biblically based kosher diet back in 1983 when I came down with heart disease and I almost died from it. That's when I went kosher and went completely clean on my diet as far as unclean meats. So I haven't intentionally put anything in my body in 33 years that I know that contains pork or shellfish. Now, I'm not saying I haven't had that snuck into me one time by a chef or two, because it's happened, because I always taste the difference. It's pork, especially when it's cured. It's really salty, and I immediately taste it. I'm like, get this stuff out of here. It's got pork in it. Well, you told me it didn't have pork. Well, I checked with the chef. It does have pork, okay? So that's what you have to do, is check first with the chef. And I've learned sometimes they don't even know. So, guys, just learn how to eat clean. It's just so important that you do that. By the way, Starbucks has finally published drink ingredient list, and here are the worst ones. This is from the Food Babe. After years of hiding the list of ingredients, I'd hide it too if this is you buy drinks from the public. See, here's the thing with Starbucks. I can say to you this. I don't go to Starbucks. I'm never going to go to Starbucks. I'm not paying $4 or $5 for a cup of coffee of pure junk, of garbage that they feed their customers. Plus, they're super pro-gay. They're super pro-gay marriage. They're super pro-gay everything. And they tell you, if you're not super pro-gay everything and you're a conservative Christian, they don't even want you in their store. Okay, yep. I'm good. I am good with that. I'm not going to their store. And I can tell you I would not recommend them at all. And so you guys can do what you want to do. But Starbucks can pound salt as far as I'm concerned, because I have absolutely no interest to support that whacked out place. Now, here's some other stuff. So first things first. Starbucks' main priority should be get off the Monsanto milk. Well, of course, it's going to be full of growth hormones. Starbucks dairy-free options are full of additives. Starbucks almond milk, filtered water, almonds, sugar, tricalcium phosphate, sunflower, less than sea salt, xanthine gum, gar gum, vitamin A, coconut milk, water, cream, cane sugar, tricalcium phosphate, coconut water concentrate, natural flavor, sea salt, carrageenan. It just goes, it reads like a cornucopia stuff, a cornucopia of things I don't want in my body. Here's the vanilla soy milk. I love this one. Organic soy milk. Oh, that's right. I hope they sell it with a bra, because you're going to get some boobies from this one. Filtered water, whole organic soybeans, organic evaporated cane juice. I'm okay with that. Calcium carbonate. Okay, I want to eat some rocks. Let's start eating rocks together now. I mean, this is like awful. Awful, awful, awful. Taking the milk out of the equation, most of the drinks at Starbucks are filled with a ton of sugar, flavors, sometimes natural, preservatives, thickeners, emulsifiers, and artificial additives. The biggest problem with Starbucks drinks, besides their really weird support of everything that's not Christian, okay, is that you're supporting Monsanto with every sip. Starbucks is serving GMO-raised milk all day long in over 13,000 stores in the USA. Can you imagine how much milk they go through? Can you imagine how the major agricultural shift they would trigger if they alone switched to organic milk, which is prohibited from feeding their livestock GMOs? Unbelievable. So contact Starbucks. Tell them that they bite, that you don't like them, and that you're never going to go to there, and they compound salt. And tell them to clean up their mess. There you go. That's all I can say. I mean, that's about as negative as I get with those guys without getting too graphic. What do you think, Oz?
Well, no, you're definitely right on that. You know, we were telling Harrison the other day, you know, my brother, your son, and in the office, he answers the phone sometimes too when he works here part-time, you know, because he was going there some. He didn't know much about it. And I told him, I said, don't go there. I said, don't support them. I said, regardless if you believe what they're about or you don't believe what they're about, you're still giving them your dollar. And when you give them your dollar, you are supporting anything and everything about they're about. And I said, they're completely pro-homosexual agenda, not just rights for individuals, not just, you know, live free and be free. They're completely about promoting the homosexual, transsexual propaganda agenda throughout the entire American population. They're very candid about that. They're very open and they're very aggressive. They are also completely anti-Second Amendment. They have gone on record numerous times stating egregious that we don't have a full weapons ban, that we do not need any type of firearms, that anybody that supports the Second Amendment or decides to exercise their Second Amendment and carrying a concealed carry firearm legally is not allowed on their premises or in their building under any circumstances whatsoever. The owner came out and said that, if you guys want to read it up. He said, you're not welcome here. If you want to carry a firearm, even if it's legally, we don't want your business. That's what he said. You go somewhere else. So as far as I'm concerned, why in the world am I going to give them any part of my money, especially, you know, it'd be one thing. It'd be completely different. I still wouldn't support them, but it'd be completely different if they were like Starbucks, the one and only organic, non-GMO, fully certified, as clean as it gets, coffee company. Then I'd be like, eh, well, they have some really, really poor values. I don't know why they act like that. I'm still not going to support them, but they make really good quality coffee. They make really good quality drinks. They don't. Their stuff's garbage. They really use the cheapest stuff. Like that was just saying, I've looked at the ingredients before. I had a friend of mine that I was working with and helping her train and, you know, lose weight and get back in shape and wanted to compete. And she was occasionally drinking those pumpkin spice lattes. And I did some research on them. And I pulled it up and I said, you know, a regular like venti or latte or grande or whatever the names, I don't remember what they were. It was like 30 grams of fat, like 700 calories and like 80 grams of sugar with like 79 grams of carbs and, or 89 grams of carbs. And I said, this is really what you're putting in your body. This is like more calories than you need to be eating in three of your meals throughout the whole day. And those meals need to be every 2 to 3 hours. It's like 9 hours worth of meals in one drink that you're drinking on top of your other meal. Has to stop. Has to stop right now. Not acceptable for me at all. I won't work with you unless you stop. And she did. And she immediately started losing weight much, much, much faster because I couldn't figure out why she was stuck. Wasn't dropping weight, was sticking. And then she told me, well, I'd have one of these, you know, 2 or 3 times a week. And I said, stop. Stop it. No, absolutely not. That is out of, you did not tell me, I did not approve of that. That stuff's garbage. Why don't you just go drink a whole bottle of heavy whipping cream and eat a cup of sugar while you're at it? That's all you're drinking with that stuff. Then throw in some artificial flavors on top of that. Oh, you got a nice little cocktail there to put on some nice heavy body fat. So, yes, I don't support them at all. I even told Harrison there's a local coffee shop now that student from Southeastern, the college I graduated from, he decided to start a local coffee shop because he did not approve of Starbucks values and their morals. So he started a local coffee shop and basically has promoted it to the colleges in the area, and it's doing huge. It has a lot of kids go down there. I don't know if he's using certified non-GMO compounds in his drinks. I haven't looked that far into it, but I do know he is health conscious, and I do know he's Christian-based, biblical-based, and he's also a supporter of the Second Amendment. So I told Harris, I said, go down there. If you want to go to a coffee shop, you want to meet girls, you want to go study, you want to hang out, go down there and hang out with those people. But the people that Starbucks attracts, I don't even like being around them. And if you drink Starbucks, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to offend you, because you're probably not one of those people if you're listening to us. But majority of the people that are in that agenda that don't like firearms, that are anti-Second Amendment, that are heavy, heavy in pushing the homosexual and transsexual agenda on everybody that doesn't want to be involved in it, those are the type of people that I don't really want to associate with. They have nothing in common with me, and I have nothing to say to them. So, yeah, that's my spill and my rant on Starbucks. I'm not a fan of them. I don't support them. I don't spend any money on them ever. It's been a long, long time since I ever graced their building with my presence, and that was back in college, and that was usually when I rode with somebody over there. So,
well, let me, one more thing. We'll get off this silliness, okay? That's why I use Purple Six. I don't drink coffee, but very, very rarely. I mean, I may have a cup or a couple sips of a cup every few months. That's about it.
Yeah.
I just don't do it. I mean, so I'm not promoting the use of coffee because it really drains your adrenal glands.
Yeah.
It really causes a lot of health problems. It can elevate your blood pressure, especially if you're drinking more than like half a cup a day. And first thing in the morning, that's not as bad, but don't be getting into a habit where you're drinking it throughout the day. It's just not healthy for you, period. It increases the risks of breast cancer. It's just a bad product to be consuming a lot of. And then we start throwing the GMOs on top of it, it's even worse. That's what I told Harrison. I said, dude, if you gotta get pumped up for something, just go ahead and do a purple stick. And he goes, no, Dad, it's just, I sometimes like to go just sit and do my homework and be in an environment with other people running around. And I said, well, that's fine. Just do it at the Christian coffee shop if you're going to do that and just be done with it. In fact, yesterday was so crazy. I was in you're going to laugh about this. Gosh, I can't even believe I'm telling the story. I'm driving the pickup truck, right? I got a Duramax pickup truck, ridiculously overpriced vehicle for Chevrolets, but they're nice. It's a nice truck. It's a Chevy. And I'm driving it, and I've got my white FSU, you know, fishing shirt on. And I look down, and I have got spots all over my shirt. I'm like, what the heck have I gotten into? Now, we're going over to pick up some chlorine tablets, and so I'm like, this is nuts. So I have to stop on the side of the road, Austin. Okay, I've got to stop on the side of the road, get a wet towel and clean my shirt out because I look like I'm some kind of person who's been living on the street for a week. And I'm like, this is nuts. So we get over there to Lakeland. We're buying the chlorine tablets. I look down. I got spots on my shirt again. I'm like, I cannot believe this. And so I get a towel, a paper towel. And I clean my shirt again. I'm like, gosh, this is ridiculous. It's a white shirt. Finally, I'm thinking to myself, okay, it's got to be on the seatbelt on the truck. It's got to be on the seatbelt. So I cleaned the seatbelt, I'm whatever. So then we had to go pick up some concrete, bag of concrete. So now we drive across the street to over to Lowe's. And I look down again after I've cleaned the seatbelt. I got stuff on my shirt again. And I'm like, this is insane. And Sharon finally looks and she goes, Ted, you're drinking water. I said, yeah. She goes, look down inside of that cup holder. And Harrison has spilled a bunch of coffee down there, Austin. And I was dripping the coffee from the bottom of my wet cup all over my white shirt. So I'm thinking I'm losing it. And then I got to start wearing a bib or something. I'm thinking, where's this stuff coming from? So finally, we put a paper towel down the side of there and cleared it up. So, guys, if you think you make mistakes every once in a while, you do things you shouldn't ought to do, just join the club and put a big check by your name along with mine. And we're all going to be in that boat together every once in a while. Here's another article. Friends of the Wicked Witch of Benghazi says that she does have Parkinson's disease, stage 3 of neurodegenerative diseases, and that means she's going to be close to death. Hillary Clinton has stage 3 Parkinson's disease and suffers from the levodopa-induced freezes, according to three sources who have had personal relationships with the Democratic Party nominee. The sources who spoke to WND on condition of anonymity explained that her seizures or dizzy spells can be triggered by being out in the sun. That's probably true. Such as apparently occurred Sunday when she was videotaped collapsing as she was escorted into her limousine. And she didn't collapse. She did a face plant, guys. Call it what it is. There wasn't any, oh my gosh, my knees are getting weak. She did a full-blown face plant. If they hadn't caught her, she'd have been black-eyed, blued, and beat up. That's what she would have looked like. After the episode on Sunday, the Clinton campaign announced that she had been diagnosed on Friday with pneumonia, which is one of the symptoms of Parkinson's, and it's one of the primary causes of death of Parkinson's. It's called aspiration pneumonia because you lose your swallowing reflex. You start filling your lungs with saliva. However, images captured at the 9/11 Memorial Sunday showed Clinton apparently being asked by a medical professional to squeeze her fingers, a test that she would indicate that she suffers from a neurological disease such as Parkinson's. Meanwhile, Republican state legislature in New Hampshire said Monday he believes Clinton has Parkinson's disease. Daniel Tamburo combined on his Facebook page that his father had Parkinson's. He noted pneumonia is common among sufferers of neurodegenerative disease, and you heard it here first. Now, here's also what's interesting. I was listening to Rush Limbaugh today. I was driving around, and I flipped the channel on, and here's Rush. I haven't listened to Rush in years. And he's starting in on Hillary's health and her collapse on Sunday. So they are not getting away from this. And even in the mainstream lying junk pieces of nonsense polls that nobody believes, Hillary now cannot even maintain a lead in that. She had a double-digit lead, if you want to believe the lies. But now Trump's leading her. Everybody knows that the Wicked Witch of Benghazi has sowed a lot of bad seed, and she's reaping a lot of bad stuff. And so, guys, I pray right now that Hillary Clinton is fully exposed for what and who she is and what she's done to the American people. I pray right now that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. I pray right now that her followers and the people who have seen her and have done everything she's told them to do, and regardless of what she's done, that they've continued to support her. I pray that the veil across their eyes be lifted, Father. I pray that right now in the name of Jesus, and they see the Wicked Witch of Benghazi for what she is and for what she's done, and they will turn from their wicked ways and from supporting her, and that we can all work together to hopefully get Donald Trump in. And Father, I also pray that Donald Trump is for real. I pray, Father, that your grace shines upon him and you're merciful on him and you protect him, Lord. And I pray, Father, if there's anything that he needs to change or quit doing or whatever before he becomes president, so he can do what's right in your eyes when he becomes president, that he is convicted to do so before he takes office, Lord. So all of us who are supporting him now, Lord, will feel as though that we've been vindicated and justified in doing what we've done. And Father, I ask you to protect him against any unforeseen assassinations or illnesses or poisonings or anything else this whacked out group can do to him, Lord. I ask you to station angels around him. I plead the blood of Christ over him, and I put a hedge of thorns around him, and I ask for your mercy, Lord, to protect Donald Trump. And I ask that if there's anybody in his campaign or around his campaign, Father, that does not have his back, that is not for him, that he does not know that, that they're exposed, and he gets rid of those people, Father. I pray that he tells the truth and continues to seek your will in all the areas of his life, Father. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, guys, I want you to believe that prayer with me, because we've got to believe everything that I prayed. At least I have to believe that, because I have to believe that the person that I have sold out to hook, line, and sinker as far as Trump is going to do what he says he's going to do and not just turn into another Barack Obama after he met George W., the whack bag Luciferian in the White House, you know, after he was put off. You guys know what happened. He went into the doggone White House with Bush with a closed, non-recorded meeting, comes back out, his head's down, face is down, completely distraught, like doesn't know what happened, like somebody just licked the red off his candy, like a calf at a new gate, like what the heck I had to get myself into. Guys, I don't want that with Trump. We got to let Trump know that there's a shadow government running the doggone planet right now, and he's got to know that, and I'm sure he does, because I have friends who know him personally, and they get all of these links that I tell you guys about, so I have to assume that somebody somewhere got something to him at some time, and there's no way he can be completely ignorant on all these topics anyhow. What do you think, Austin? What's your next story?
No, you're absolutely right about that. Next story is now the pretty much this is one of the biggest German deals ever. Monsanto has now accepted Bayer's $66 billion takeover, creating an agri-giant in a transaction that will allow Bayer to command more than a quarter of the combined world market for seed and pesticides. Not to mention, it's set to be the biggest M&A deal for 2016. Reuters reported that Bayer has won over Monsanto's management with a $128 per share cash offer to acquire the global seed market leader in a deal worth $66 billion. Bayer also signed a deal that includes a fee of $2 billion should the transaction fail to get regulatory clearance as planned. It will be the largest transaction ever involving a German buyer. By accepting Bayer's offer, the largest cash acquisition proposal on record, ahead of Brewer InBev's $60.4 billion offer for Anheuser-Busch, would be the top spot in the fast-consolidating farm supplies industry, combining its crop science business with Monsanto's strength and seed. This will be very interesting to see what happens now. This is what we've seen happen, guys, over the years, especially after 2008. It's been happening faster and faster and faster. We're seeing a few key globalist companies literally buying, owning, and controlling every area of the marketplace. And this is what we see now. Bayer and Monsanto will be merging. It will be part of Bayer now. I don't know what this is going to do in the future. What do you think about this, Dad? Do you think this is legit? I mean, it sounds pretty legit to me. I know they've been trying to do it for a while now.
Well, you got to remember, guys, it's the banking cartels that do this. These companies basically are controlled by the interlocking corporate directorships and the banks, the International Monetary Fund, the Exchange Stability Fund, the Federal Reserve Bank, the Bank of International Settlements in Switzerland. All of these banks are controlled through the Rothschild serpent head. This is what's going on. So all of these organizations and all these corporations, because of the financing they do, because of the borrowing they do, they're all directly or indirectly controlled by the same bank, which is the Rothschild Group. They basically run the planet. I mean, they're just the wicked head of all of this. This is what they do. And, you want to put a face on it, it's Goldman Sachs. If you don't want to say Rothschild, just say Goldman Sachs. Okay? And that's pretty much, one of the Federal Reserve member banks. And they kind of just do what they want to do. And if you notice, when our CIA throws people out and puts dictators and puppets in office, they're almost always Goldman Sachs employees or former employees.
Yep.
It's what they do. So, I mean, you've got to step back for a minute and look back and say, okay, what's the outcome of what they're doing? Who are they putting into power? And it's always controlled through Goldman Sachs. In fact, the guy who wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Kawasaki, a few years ago, he had an article that he used to write on Yahoo. And it was interesting because it was like that first page that comes up with Yahoo. I mean, it was a big deal. It was a financial article he used to write. And one day they were asking him questions about Obama. And he wrote the article. He says, Obama doesn't mean anything. He says he's a figurehead. He does what he's told. He goes, the people that wrote, he says, everybody knows that Goldman Sachs runs the world. Period. Done. Gone. Never saw another article with him on Yahoo. That was it. Finished. Gone. Finished. He wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Never saw another article from him. Ever. Ever. Not once. You think, well, wow. Well, yeah. So I thought, wow. I mean, but see, that's what they don't want you to know. See, there's this veil they have over you. Not over you guys, because you guys, if you got a veil over you, that's not there anymore after listening to this show. And so it's this, and it talks about that in the Bible. I've covered it in detail on the show, and I went into the scriptures on it. The mind of the unbeliever has been blinded, and they don't see the veil that's over them, that's preventing them from seeing the truth. That's why the whole gospel message of the cross is foolishness to them, because they don't understand it. They don't understand any of this. And that's one of the neat things about the way we approach the gospel with scalar waves and omnipresence and all the things that we talk about all the time. I've had people contact me who were like atheists or agnostics, and they heard my show and they go, wow, wow. You know, like for the first time from a scientific standpoint, because I've been trained as a scientist, this whole thing makes sense. Wow, I've gotten saved now because of this. And I thank every day God for that, because I don't take any credit for that at all, because he's just using me as a vessel, as a tool. It shows that if he can use a little German boy from Polk County, Florida, who was raised by immigrant parents, and one of them got divorced, and he can put me through the background that I had as a child, and Austin knows all about it and how rough it was. If he can use me as a voice piece and as a mouthpiece so that some may be saved, I am humbled and have tremendous gratitude that he's done that, because it wasn't me, it was God. Period. Now, here's another interesting article that I want to share with you real quick. This I like this one. 40 reasons why the financial reset is on the horizon. And it's posted by Steve W. I mean, I don't know who that is. And it's good. He says, we will highlight some key initiatives and developments to demonstrate. I'm not going to cover all of these because it'll take too long to show that we're having a financial reset. Number one, Russia has signed military cooperation deals with Egypt, Bolivia, Tanzania, and Qatar. That's huge, because Qatar is the one they got in the big problem with the natural gas running back through Syria. Okay. Number two, impending gold run after the Deutsche and Exera gold debacle, in which they couldn't fulfill their orders in gold. The gold is going to go through the roof, by the way. I really believe that, unless it's continuing to be manipulated by the serpent group, the Rothschilds. Severe stress anticipated in the gold markets in the coming weeks, number three. Number four, Saudi and Russian oil companies' MOU signed suggests the end of the U.S. OPEC dominance. Now, if that happens, that means that could signal the end of the petrodollar. If that happens, whoo, doggy, watch out. Number five, U.S. commercial bankruptcies have soared. In August, bankruptcy filings were up 44% from September last year at a low point of the multi-year cycle, and up 29% since last year. That's huge. Fed has run out of ammunition, number six. By implication, when compared to rate cuts during previous recessions, the Fed would have to cut interest rates to a minimum of -6%, which would destroy the financial system. So they don't know what to do anymore. There were 94,708,000 Americans not participating in the labor force in May. That was an increase of 664,000 from the previous month. Guys, let me repeat that. We had an increase of 664,000 people not participating in the labor force in 1 month. The total balance of all outstanding U.S. auto loans is $1.027 trillion, the second consecutive quarter that's approached the $1 trillion mark. Germany's export, this is huge because they are the power engine of Europe and of the entire portion of that world over there. Their exports fell by 10%. Now, guys, you don't, that's so big, it's almost unbelievable. That's huge. Germany's exports fell by 10% and their imports by 6.5% year on year. German exports to other countries fell by 7% in July alone, while imports fell by 4.5%. German trade outside EU showed exports fell by 13.8% and imports by 10.1%. Those are horrible numbers. Hejin, the world's seventh largest container shipper, filed for bankruptcy. Assets, supply chains are paralyzed globally. Number 11, EU and Portugal agree on a $5 billion bailout for the CDG Bank. Italian and German banks remain in spotlight as a risk of systemic failure, especially with Deutsche Bank in Europe grows. The Bank of Japan looks like it's implementing QE to infinity during September. We are witnessing cash shortages throughout the entire financial system. De-dollarization continues as Iran and Pakistan are planning to ditch the U.S. dollar. And German savers are beginning to lose faith in the banks that are stashing cash at home. In Switzerland, what they're doing is they're actually, because Swiss Bank is now charging negative interest, they're charging people to have their money in the bank. Switzerland is now, people are going to the banks and withdrawing their Swiss francs in $1,000 increments and basically stashing it in their safety deposit boxes at that same bank so they have to pay interest on their money, and or stuffing it in a blanket at home. So this is telling me that something big is coming. And also, I'm not going to finish the rest of these. And also, Angela Merkel said that, hey, you know, go store some food, water, and supplies. When have you heard a major world leader tell their people to store water, food, and supplies? Has that ever happened? Did I ever remember? Never. Except for Obama a few years ago was talking about financial preparedness and disaster preparedness. But Merkel didn't sound like she was talking about, you know, something that may happen. She's talking about something that was going to happen. So, guys, even the wicked Angela Merkel, you know, can get it right every once in a while. Like I always tell my friends, even a blind squirrel can find an acorn every once in a while. So maybe she's finally having a heartfelt change to realize what she's done. And oh, by the way, George Soros has now said that if Europe does not continue with the massive immigration, that will spell the end of Germany and Europe, and they will be forced to take these people in. Now, I don't know who in the world told this boy he was running the planet. Oh, that's right. I remember who told him. It's the serpent group of the Rothschild Goldman Sachs gang. That's right. He's their front guy. Oh, that's right. He's the one that they use to do all the stuff that they don't want to get their hands dirty on. Oh, yeah, that's right. He's the one bringing all the immigration people. Oh, that's right. He's the J.P. Morgan of the current century. That's right. That's who he is. That's where he gets his marching orders from. And, oh, by the way, those nutbags claim that Lucifer shows up at their house every 37 years or so and has dinner with them. And they set a place setting at the dinner table for him every night just in case Satan shows up. Who in the world put these whackbags in charge, and who do they think they are, Austin? That's my little rant about Soros and why we should let Europe fall apart under his auspices. What do you think, Oz?
Well, no, that's been the whole goal from the beginning, is if they can't get the leaders, like the new person that's going to replace Merkel next year, to go along with this absolute insanity, they're just going to force them to do it. And that's what they like to do under all types of different guises of either shutting commerce down or starting another war or causing hyperinflation or causing some issue with the stock market. This is how these guys work. They manipulate everything. They have their little tentacle webs in every single aspect of everything. So it doesn't surprise me at all. This is good news, though, for everybody that's still paranoid about Zika. Listen to this now. Brazil is now admitting Zika is not causing birth defects.
Of course it's not.
The mainstream media will not talk about this research article whatsoever. I have not heard a single blip online at all about these guys from the New England Complex System. Listen to this now. Allegations made by the government and establishment media that birth defects in the form of microcephaly in Americans are caused by Zika are quickly waning. Doctors in Brazil now are acknowledging that Zika is not responsible for causing birth defects. They said, "We suspect that something more than Zika virus is causing the high intensity and severity of cases of microcephaly." Fatima Moreau, Director of Information and Health Analysis at the Brazil's Health Ministry, told the journal Nature in this interview, "Research was conducted by New England Complex Systems Institute found extremely low occurrences of birth defects among Colombian women who had been infected with the Zika virus the entire pregnancy. The study observed 12,000 pregnant women living in Colombia infected with Zika, and none of them gave birth to a baby with microcephalus."
That's right.
Life News reports 4 cases of this were reported with women who didn't have Zika symptoms and were not part of the study, which is consistent with the normal expected number of cases. Based on estimated numbers, there should have been about 60,000 pregnant women in Colombia with the Zika virus, yet there are hardly any cases of this with microcephalus. If the link to Zika is legitimate, there should have been a massive increase in the number of babies. Could it be the fears over Zika were perpetuated to invoke more profits from other industries? I don't know. We've talked about this before, and I'm pretty convinced that there is a lot of other things below the surface of Zika, as we've gone in detail in other shows that we've done. But guys, I've said this from the beginning. Dad said this is from the beginning. the Zika virus has been nothing but obfuscation to keep everybody's mind off whatever else is going on, whether it be Hillary's medical condition, whether it be the economy, whether it be another war they're about to start. It's a smokescreen. I told you guys before, it's been around since the 60s. It's never been a significant issue with microcephalus that they're talking about. It's never been an issue with causing any type of long-term serious issues. It causes flu-like symptoms, red eyes, runny nose, and your body fights it off in a couple days if it has a decent immune system. This whole thing with Zika, guys, we've lived in Florida our whole lives. People have lived in Florida since since we can remember. People haven't had issues with this. This Zika virus, all this stuff has been around for a while. So that's what I talked about to so many people that kept calling me up on the phone. They said, Zika's been around for 60 years. Why all of a sudden is it this massive, massive problem throughout a global pandemic now they're acting like on the news that everybody has to have Zika vaccines? Oh, that's right, Zika vaccines. They just released them. The federal government, the United States federal government, also just gave, oh, I think, over $100 million grant to a Chinese manufacturer to produce another Zika vaccine. And how much do you guys want to bet that vaccine is going to be implemented into pregnant women's vaccine protocols along with the children's vaccine protocols? It's already up to, I think, what, 72 or 76 different vaccinations by the time they're 18 years old. Ah, there you go. Now we start seeing the whole reason behind the Zika virus global scare that's going on right now. Nothing to do whatsoever about health. First off, the last time I checked, the federal government doesn't give a rat's bottom end about anybody's health at all. If they did, they would have already banned aspartame, sucralose, hydrogenated oils. The list goes on and on and on. You guys already know. If they cared about the population of this country's health, they wouldn't let Monsanto continually make further degraded seeds that can handle dicamba, Roundup, all this other stuff that they're making out with now that's been directly linked to all kinds of health issues, DNA problems, everything. So for a second, just think, why would the government be even somewhat concerned about my health if I was to contract Zika? They don't. There's always another agenda behind it, the same thing that was going on with the Ebola scare that happened 2 years ago, guys. So this right here that has happened with the New England Complex Systems Institute is telling, and it shows that there is no significant issue with Zika more than there ever has been for the last 65 years. So hope everybody's concerns can be rested now and people won't be so paranoid about this nonsense anymore.
No, you're right. It's obfuscation, but it's also something else. It's also something else with the immunizations that are doing. These immunizations, they change our DNA.
Yep.
The GMO foods change our DNA. This group of people are so wicked, they're these transhumanists. They want to eliminate Homo sapien. They want to get rid of humans, this human species. And through epigenetics, they can do that because when they incorporate this stuff into your DNA through immunizations, whenever you are having a child, your DNA also incorporates that same change. So we are being systematically terraformed. Our species is, to use a term, along with the planet being terraformed. And my response is, for what? Are these nutbags really believing that these fallen angels are going to come back and do the things that they've done before and change the whole planet over again? Oh, that's right. It already says to us, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when Jesus returns. Oh, that's right. These nutbags were doing all of this 6,000-7,000 years ago whenever Noah's flood happened, and they were doing all these genetic manipulations and changes. And oh, that's right. These angels were coming down and breeding with women and having Nephilim and giants, yep, and all kinds of other crazy stuff. Oh, so they've done this before? Yep, the Bible says it. It's happened before, and they're doing it again because they don't want our species here because God created us in His image, and that's an anathema to them. They hate Yahweh. They hate the creator of the universe. They want to form it in their image, and their image is filth, it's pornography, it's lust, it's hate, it's misery, it's war, because the negative energy all of that creates feeds them in their multidimensional universe, and it makes them stronger. That's why Jesus says that perfect love casts out fear, and that everything's about love. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. See, guys, if we treat everybody with love and we walk in love and we don't have bitterness and anger and then just be angry all the time at people, it makes life a lot better. You guys, many of you know, I was viciously attacked online last fall because I had used the word correctly, but it had multiple meanings. I apologized profusely for having used the word correctly with multiple meanings. It didn't make any difference. It just went berserk on. It happened. It went on for like a month. I mean, I was getting all these crazy emails. I mean, it was nuts. There was nothing about the person who and the persons who were attacking me that meant they were walking in love. It didn't happen. We can't do that, but I never mentioned their name on the show, and I never went into detail on the show, though when they would say things about me that weren't true, I would correct them. Now, here's the thing about this is, as Christians, we cannot be the accuser of the brethren. The Word tells us that Lucifer is the accuser of the brethren. So if you think that I'm perfect and I get things right all the time, you don't know Ted Brewer because I'm not that guy, all right? Because we're all saved by grace through faith. But I do know that Jesus' sacrifice was sufficient for me and that he has redeemed me because of the blood that he shed, which is what it says in the book of Hebrews. I know that. So I don't have to be perfect because Christ was perfect. Because every once in a while, you guys will hear me on the show, I'll use a bad word. Okay, I do that every once in a while. You know, and I last month I ate a donut, I think, too, but it was an organic one, so I shouldn't have eaten that either. So, I mean, so if you want to get picky with me, I guess you can start picking at me. I mean, but the point is, guys, let's love one another. Let's encourage one another. Because as this end time approaches, let's be positive and say, hey, look, guys, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. And if somebody offends you, go to that brother in private, like it says in Matthew 18. If that doesn't work, take together two or three witnesses in the church and take them before the pastor. That'll take care of it. Do all of these things like the Bible says before you start attacking people online or attacking people personally. It just doesn't make any difference. If you do that, it creates a really negative energy state around everybody involved in it. And guys, it's not productive. It's counterproductive. It doesn't help anybody at any time, period. Now, here's another interesting article. Political Insider hints something massive is about to go down. More evidence emerges that Barack Obama may be going nowhere in 2017. Of course, now I've heard that over and over about George W., about Clinton, about everybody. Everybody doesn't want to do it. That won't work unless they're absolutely desperate, and here's why. The country won't tolerate that. There's a certain point where the people in the United States are going to say, no, we're going to throw the bum out. Okay? Now, with the mainstream media's credibility now nearly completely destroyed, well, maybe I think 3% still believe him, after being exposed as a mouthpiece of the globalists who are merely marching to the orders of Hillary's rapidly disintegrating presidential campaign, and more evidence is emerging that Barack Obama may not be going anywhere in 2017. With treacherous Hillary and the globalists still itching for war with Russia that could quickly lead to hundreds of millions of dead, one very popular Russian TV host has recently warned that the merciless American establishment, now this is not the merciless American establishment, it's the globalists, I'm going to correct that, may kill Donald Trump to keep a pro-American president out of office. That's why we prayed for Trump earlier. And as we hear from the South, the mouth of Barack, that there's no guarantee there'll be a winner in the election in November. What the heck does that even mean? As radio talk Mike Savage tells Alex Jones in InfoWars, Clinton's health issues have suddenly taken center stage, with her candidacy now in free fall in the presidential race, and many are calling her unelectable. We hear from Savage why he believes Obama must suspend the election. In the video also, Mr. Thrive and Survive tells why he believes Barack Obama is going nowhere in 2017. I don't think they're going to do that. I think we're going to have an election, but I think it's going to be a wild roller coaster ride of a fall. I can honestly tell you guys that. Now, guys, also I want to thank you so much because we're almost out of time. For supporting Health Masters. I love you guys. I really do. I appreciate you guys, all of you guys. I want to thank you for getting your vitamins from us and for supporting us and for listening to us and giving the phone number out to watch, listen to the show and the iPads or the iPods or whatever you want to call it, the download stuff that we have. Thank you for that. It means so much to me and to Austin to know that you got our back and that you're praying for us. And thank you so much for that. Because, guys, we can't do this without you. We need your support. I've got to get this equipment bought. I've got to move forward with those purchases. I've got to continue to get the show to grow, and so we can become more and more viable as far as from a watching standpoint. We've got to go on YouTube now. There's so many things that we need to do to make this show get bigger and bigger and bigger. So thank you for supporting us. I'm not asking you to give me a money bomb and send me money. I mean, if you want to donate something to the website, you're more than welcome to do that. And I thank you for that. But if you just got your multiple vitamins from us, everybody's listening, it would make it a whole lot easier. It really, really would. And I thank all of you who support us. And I'm not going to turn this into an infomercial because I never do, but I just want to let you guys know that we need you. We covet your prayers. We thank you for your support. And we just love you guys. Awesome. I'm going to go ahead and let you close, buddy. God bless you guys. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah, it's everything, you know, like I said, that's what we try to do the best to help everybody that we can. We always try and give everybody the best deals that we can, you know, even with the supplements, with the cost of a lot of this stuff. But we appreciate the support. Like Dad said, you know, if you're getting your supplements from somebody else and you like our show, if you're getting information from us, if you're emailing us, if we're trying to help you out the best we can, you know, just something like that, getting a multiple, it really helps us out because it helps us basically support you guys with our information, and in turn, you guys support us with a bottle of multiple. Also, too, as I told you guys yesterday, the potassium iodine, one product of the week, which is an incredibly good product. That's one of the newer formulas that we've done. It's on sale right now for $17.89. We run our standard 7.5 milligrams of potassium iodide in it, and also 5 milligrams of molecular iodide. This stuff is extremely absorbable. It goes right into the tissue. It's very good for the thyroid. I've told people numerous times it's good to have a couple of these bottles on hand at all times because it's very good if there's any type of radiation. And on top of that, in general, I take one capsule on a daily basis. It really, really keeps the thyroid active and healthy and keeps the metabolism running properly. So if you have a slow thyroid, it's a great product for that. And the reason why we use gel capsules and we have it in the liquid in the gel capsules is because they're done, again, in our FDA-approved facility. And everything is assay tested every single batch. That's why we do not carry our iodine in a liquid suspension dropper form. That way is not necessarily a bad way to do it. The problem with that is you do not know the exact dosage you're getting every single time because a lot of times the suspension can fall out and you may not be getting the proper dosage. When you have the capsule, you know exactly what you're getting every single time. So, guys, we appreciate it. Email us. Call us if you need anything at all. Healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed night, and we'll be on again tomorrow, as always.